So, you know, last week we started a new series, and that series is called Restoring the Foundation. That's where God has been leading us to go. And so, you know, our country has been established on Christian values and Christian principles. And that's where this message is pretty much taking us. We have founding fathers who honored and revered God. They truly did. But we've seen a shifting away from the Word of God, away from God. That's what we've been seeing going on in our country. And so last week, Gary and I shared some photos from our recent trip to Massachusetts. If you remember, that's where the Revolutionary War started. That's the war that gave us our freedom. That's what we're celebrating this 4th of July, okay? And so, Kathy, can you bring up the first slide? All right, so we showed some photos of monuments that we had actually seen at the battle where this battle started, the Revolutionary War, in Lexington, in Concord, in Quincy, Massachusetts. We showed some of the monuments there, and on those monuments are the names of the people who fell at the start of that Revolutionary War. They lost their lives fighting for freedom. And so the one thing we noted from those monuments, that 95% of the names on the fallen heroes on those monuments were biblical names. We have a strong foundation in our country. Those fallen, they were farmers, they were tradesmen, they were churchgoers. They just, you know, picked up their hunting rifles. Remember when Paul Revere came through, the British are coming, they picked up their hunting rifles and they went to task. They went to fight for freedom. That freedom came at a very high cost. It cost many of them their lives. And those are the names that appear on these on the monuments. Those men were martyred for fighting for something that they believed in. They believed that this country should be free from Great Britain, and we should be able to govern ourselves. Kathy, could you bring on the next? That Revolutionary War began April 19th, 1775. You know, that was only 244 years ago. Only 200, you know, that's not very long when you think about, you know, today we have people living to 80s and then into their 90s and some into 100. That's really not all that long. And so, but since then we've seen an attack on our Christian foundation. People trying to remove the Ten Commandments from government buildings. You know, battles in the courtrooms to try to take down crosses. We've seen statues of our founding fathers torn down. We've seen a lot of things going on, but the fact still remains that this country was founded on godly Christian principles. The faith of our fathers, our founding fathers, shows up in our founding documents. I read a portion of that Declaration of Independence last week. I was so excited to see the Morning Call they printed out the whole Declaration of Independence. I mean, I was so pleased to see that. I read a portion of that last week in the beginning, but I want to read a little bit from the end. Okay, this will further emphasize that our founding fathers had faith in God. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states. And that goes on and it finishes out. This is the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Those were the comments from our founding fathers that they put into the Declaration. There is no doubt, guys, we have a strong Christian foundation. We have a strong heritage in this country. It's written right into those documents. You know, when our founding fathers got together in 1774, they got together to discuss what to do. They were having some issues with the king of Great Britain. And the first thing that they did was open up in prayer. They went to a nearby Christ church. The title of the church was Christ Church, to get the Reverend Jacob Duchesne to pray with them. They prayed. That prayer meeting went for over 2 hours long. And during that time, they studied four chapters of the Bible, and they read the entire Psalm 35. And so 2 years later, that declaration that I just read from, that was written. There were seven signers of the Declaration of Independence that are buried at that church. So our Christian has a strong Christian foundation. The sad thing is, not many of our people know that. And so there was a documentary that Gary and I watched. It was about the 4th of July. And so we watched that documentary, and there was a reporter in that documentary that just went out on the streets and was asking people just questions, you know, dealing with the 4th of July. And so not everybody could give, correct answers. It was surprising how many couldn't. But we're going to do a little thing right now. My husband just passed out a little bit of paper there. And so just for fun, we'd like to ask you some of those questions that reporter was asking. Maybe add a few more to them. Simple questions. And so you've got a paper if you have something to write down. I think my husband's going to take over with the questions from here.
Well, that's not fair, Pastor Ron.
This is for fun, Ralph. It's for fun. It's for fun. This'll... Nope. Actually, you're going to grade your own paper. It's not, no one's going to be watching, see what you have. And this is a church, so I believe, there's going to be integrity in here, right? Okay. But it'll tell us how much do we really know? How much do we know about the foundation of our country?
This is just a test of your own personal knowledge. Nobody's going to know how many you got right or wrong. The papers will not be collected. They're not going to be graded. Do with those papers what you want. This is just a test of your own knowledge, okay? And I'm not going to ask who got this one right, who got this one wrong. So here they are. Please, in order to keep this right, remember, this is a test of your own personal knowledge. If you know the answer, don't blurt it out so that other people hear it. Just keep it to yourself. Okay, there's 10 questions. Okay, you do not need to participate if you don't wish to. Okay. What do we celebrate on the 4th of July? I like to go through this pretty quick because the pastor does have a message this morning. Who was the first president of the United States? The last names will be sufficient on all of these answers. What year did our nation declare its independence? What country did we declare our independence from? How many states did our nation have after we gained independence? Initially, how many states did our nation have? How many states did our nation have right after our independence? How many stars are on the current U.S. flag? How many senators are there in the U.S. Senate? Number 9, what type of government did our nation have under the U.S. Constitution? This is multiple choice. Was it A, a monarchy, B, a democracy, C, a republic, D, dictatorship. Sorry, this is not, this is question number 9. What city was the Declaration of Independence signed? In what city? And finally, who was the primary writer of the Declaration of Independence? He wrote the entire first draft, and it went, underwent some revisions after that.
Okay, how you guys doing?
Okay, we're going to quickly go through the answers.
But I will tell you that your question number 8, you didn't have the right answer on
it. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see what the answer is. Okay. Now, what we want to take note of your answers. Now, we want to know how many right answers you have before you hear the answers. Okay. Okay. That's the idea. Okay. So here are the answers. What do we celebrate on the 4th of July? Does anybody know that?
Independence.
Declaration of Independence. Okay, it's our independence.
Independence or freedom. Mm-hmm.
The first president of the United States.
Washington.
Okay, I'm not going to ask if anybody missed that. Okay. In what year did our nation declare its independence? 1776 is right.
Okay.
What country did we declare our independence from? England, Britain, United Kingdom, all that would be correct. How many states did our nation have after we gained independence? 13 is the right answer. Okay. How many stars are on the current U.S. flag? It is 50. Okay. All right. Puerto Rico is not yet a state. Okay. So it's so we're still in.
Yeah.
Okay. It is 50. And okay. So how many senators are there in the U.S. Senate? 100 is the right answer, okay?
Woo! Yeah!
What type of government did our nation have under the U.S. Constitution?
It's
Republic is correct.
But it's actually a Democratic Republic.
That's what it is now. It wasn't initially, okay? Okay. All right. Over the years, our nation has become more of a democracy, but it was founded as a republic. After the Constitutional Convention, Ben Franklin went outside and someone on the street asked him, what type of government do we have? And he answered, a republic, if you can keep it. We haven't kept it too well. Okay. All right. Okay. What city was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Philadelphia.
And who was the primary writer?
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson was correct. Okay. So... did anybody get them all right?
No.
All right? All of them? Really?
Awesome. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 5 people.
All right, so
woo,
we got
6.
So we got a tie.
Yo.
By the way, congratulations to all those.
That's great. You guys did better than that reporter
that
on the street.
Fantastic.
Woo, you guys are listening in here.
So
yeah.
Here's the tiebreaker. I gotta do this. Write it down.
I need to get them all right, so I'm not in it.
And
those who got it all right.
Has the closest,
is it a bonus question?
Is this is only for the 5 people that.
The 5 people that.
Right.
Yeah.
How many men signed the Declaration of Independence?
Ooh.
The closest number wins.
Ooh. How many? You could go to the fireworks today, and they're going to tell them. They're going to speak them all. You can count them.
All right.
Or Gary will tell you in a second.
Okay. All right, what are the numbers we have? We better get the numbers. We have written down.
Do you have one?
I have written down.
Okay. You want to go first?
39.
30. Anyone else? Who was it?
25.
57. Anyone else?
28.
Okay. Who are the 5 people at?
6. There were 6.
What? You get one? Oh,
Jennifer?
What do you have?
I'm wrong. I didn't know the answer. But I got them written until now. 17, I could.
Okay, all right.
All right. Were you one of the...
Yeah, I'm wrong.
Okay.
I can't make up my mind. It's either 53 or 27, but I'd be close to 27.
All right. Well, one person got really, really close.
Really close. Really close. Okay. Woo! That would be Dave. That would be Dave. Woohoo! Woo! Yay! Woo! All right. Okay. You know, that reporter that went out on the street, this was the answer to some of the questions. Where was the Declaration of Independence signed? Some of the answers were Boston, Delaware. This was a hard question. How many people signed the Declaration of Independence? The answers were 20. These were Americans. 22, 5, 13, 12. So y'all are okay with that, all right? But a Russian girl who just came to the country had the right answer. 56. So anyway, awesome. Thank you, honey. That was just a fun little exercise there. Just amazing. You know, those founding fathers that we had, you know, that signed that declaration, they were God-honoring, God-revering men, and their lives and their actions revealed that. Kathy, could you bring up the next picture? This is where the Declaration of Independence was actually signed. This is in Philadelphia, Independence Hall. Is there another picture? This is the interior. That's the interior. That's where these men were. And Gary, what did you say that it was hot. You know, it was hot in the summertime. They had the windows closed, right?
Yeah, the windows were closed because they didn't want any reporters outside reporting what was going on inside. So they kept it private.
Okay. No. So I want to acquaint you with some of our founding fathers, okay? I just want to just share a little bit about them. One of the signers of the Declaration lived right here in Catasauqua and Easton. He had a home in Easton and a summer home here in Catasauqua. That Catasauqua home is available. You could go and they preserved it. His name was George Taylor. George Taylor. Is there a home? Does he have a home there in Easton? Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So one of the signers was right from our area. John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon was a pastor. He was a pastor from New Jersey. He was responsible for every person in New Jersey receiving a Bible. He was president of Princeton University, and he was president of Princeton's Theological Seminary as well. Another signer, Thomas Nelson Jr. He was the youngest signer of the Declaration. He was 38 years old. He was from Virginia. You know, it took a lot of finances to come up against the British, right? So he actually gave of his own personal finances to support the cause. George Washington had approached Thomas Nelson, you know, to go and raise funds. You know, talk to some of your other buddies, other wealthy people. We need funds to do what we need to do. And so Thomas Nelson Jr., he actually provided a whole fleet in his home. He funded some of the Patriots there. He funded a whole regiment of the cavalry. And Thomas Nelson was the governor there in Virginia, and his home was rather very nice. He was a very wealthy man. And so when the British came to town, the generals wanted to stay in his home. So they stayed there. And when all this was going on, Thomas Nelson, he asked our troops to bomb my house. That's where the generals are. He sacrificed his house. You know, I just read they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. He said, and they wouldn't do it because he was the governor. They didn't want to do it. He said, I will pay the cannon firers who aim and hit my house. Then they submitted. They did it. And if you go down there, the cannonballs are still, the house is restored, but there's still some cannonballs right in the wall. You can see them. John Hart of New Jersey, he was the oldest signer. He was 60 years old. This man was noted for the highest integrity and honesty, a strong Christian and a patriot. He was a Baptist. John Hancock, we all know that name. He was president of the Continental Congress. He was from Massachusetts, where we happen to go and show y'all the things from where the monuments where the war started. Every spring, John Hancock would say prayers for fasting, and every fall he would write Thanksgiving prayers of proclamation for the people. In one of the proclamations, he said, "We need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, our Savior." That's what he wrote. I mean, you know, you can't deny it. We've got an awesome foundation. Samuel Adams, he was governor of Massachusetts. You know, we talk about Massachusetts being so liberal today, one of the most liberal states. This was their foundation. These men came out of Massachusetts. He was the governor. Actually, he's called the father of the revolution because he said, "We need to be free." And that's how he earned that title. This man was very poor. He didn't have any money. To get to the Continental Congress, his friends all chipped together because his suit was all holy. His friends all chipped together and bought him a suit and 5 pair of socks so he could go to the Continental Congress. But he had to borrow a horse to get there. He had no way to get there. He borrowed a horse to get to Philadelphia. He wrote this. This is what Samuel Adams wrote. "We have restored the sovereign to whom men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven. From the rising to the setting sun, may his kingdom come." There's no doubt, guys, no doubt. That was Samuel Adams. It didn't say where he read it. I got that off of that documentary. It didn't say where he wrote that, but it was one of his writings. Most of our founding fathers were openly Christian. They didn't hide it. Another one, Charles Carroll. He was a Catholic. He was from Maryland. He was the only Catholic signer of that declaration. He wrote, though, that he was ready to meet his Redeemer. He died at the age of 95, which is very incredible at that time because the lifespan back then was only 33 years old. You know, he was one of the wealthiest men in America, Charles Carroll, and he permanently endowed a church and a preacher in his small town there in New Jersey. Benjamin Rush, does that name sound familiar to anybody? He's another signer. He was the father of public schools. He was from Pennsylvania. He was also a father of medicine, very strong evangelical. He became the leader of the abolition movement to rid our country of slavery. Pennsylvania, by the way, was the first colony to outlaw slavery. But the King of England vetoed it. Benjamin Rush, this was his practice. He read through the Bible once every year. He's the founder of the Sunday school movement. He actually created the first Bible society in America to try to get Bibles to people. He wanted Bibles in public schools as their textbooks. This is what he said. He wanted to do that to prevent people from committing crimes. He said this, "Let's instruct them in morals instead." He ultimately knew that the Bible was the basis for freedom. Of course, we know Thomas Jefferson. He was from Virginia. When he became president, he started the church services there in the Capitol. They actually held church services in the Capitol. Thomas Jefferson approved of them, and he attended them. And that practice went on till after the Civil War. And Thomas Jefferson, as we just discussed, was largely responsible for writing the Declaration of Independence. If you remember, Thomas Jefferson died on July 4th, 1826, exactly 50 years after that Declaration of Independence was signed. As did John Adams. Remember that name, John Adams? He was from Massachusetts. Gary and I went to his home. He wrote that the Declaration of Independence would be the most memorable, the celebration of independence would be the most memorable in history. He said this, quote, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns and bells, bonfires, illuminations, i.e. fireworks, from one end of this continent to the other forevermore." Powerful. These are the men who signed that Declaration of Independence. I just have another one here that I want to just bring out to you. John Quincy Adams, that was John Adams' son. He did not sign the Declaration of Independence, but he became our sixth president, so he's one of our forefathers. This is what he said about the celebration of 4th of July. I want to read his quote. "Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of our nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That it forms already a leading event in the progress of the gospel of dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth? That it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the precepts of Christianity?" He saw that the 4th of July should be a religious holiday. We should be thanking God for our freedom. That's what he was saying there. So we have a strong biblical Christian foundation. It doesn't matter what they try to take out of our history books. The fact remains. Yeah, honey, do you have something to say?
Right. I wanted to mention that the land that the Independence Hall in Philadelphia is sitting on was purchased by two men, Andrew Hamilton and William Allen, and they used their own money to buy it. William Allen went on to found a city called Allentown, but he called it Northampton Town initially, and his purpose was to make Northampton Town the county seat of Northampton County, which it never became because the counties later on split. But he married Andrew Hamilton's daughter, and the main street in Allentown is called Hamilton Street, and it's named after her, her family name.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. That's my history guy back there. He's big. Thank you, honey. So we're talking about restoring the foundation, okay? We've seen a major shift in our country away from that foundation that our country was established on, away from God, away from the Bible. And so if we're going to be able to stand, you know, we're going through some interesting times right now, you know, these last days. If we're going to be standing, be able to stand through this shifting, it's a moral, political, social, this climate that we're living in, we have to have a strong inner core. Our foundation has to be on the Word of God and not be moved off of it. And so, you know, as we mentioned last week, if the foundation is weak, the structure collapses. Kathy, could you bring up Psalm? That was Psalm 11:3 says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Our nation was established on Christian principles. That's our foundation. That foundation today is being attacked viciously. And we've seen the erosion of our Christian principles and values in many areas. We discussed several of those last week. The indoctrination of the LGBTQ agenda. We saw drag queens, you know, in demonic getup reading stories to preschoolers and elementary kids. We saw prayers to Satan being allowed in our government meetings. We've seen boys in girls' bathrooms and vice versa. We have a rampant drug problem. Who would ever have thought that moral pendulum would have shifted so far? It just It just blows your mind. It's incredible. We've seen hatred for America. We've seen hatred for our founding fathers and for our traditional American heroes within our own borders. Within our own borders. We've seen our national anthem protested. We've seen our national flag dishonored by those who refused to stand while the national anthem was being played. You know, this past week, y'all must be have been tuned into the news. We've seen this week that there's been offense towards the Betsy Ross flag. Have you been tuned into the news? Okay. Kathy, could you bring up the next slide, please? That's the Betsy Ross flag there. These are Nike. These are 4th of July sneakers that were produced by Nike for the purpose to promote patriotism and sales. And so they developed those for this holiday. There was one who dishonored our national anthem and our flag, who had a say about these particular shoes. That was Colin Kaepernick. He's the man that Nike has endorsed as a spokesperson for their company. And he expressed concern about this flag being an offensive symbol to him because it was created during an era that we had slavery in our country. So Nike pulled their sneakers that had already been shipped out to stores because Colin Kaepernick was offended by the Betsy Ross flag. We have no desire in here to offend anyone, not at all. And we don't want to. We don't desire to offend anyone by anyone listening to this message. But you know, this story just happened to come out while we're discussing restoring the foundations of our country, restoring the foundations. And so this story about the Betsy Ross flag is a prime example of the attack that has been coming against that foundation. It's very possible that there will be more attacks on our country's foundation as we go through this series. If there are, I will address them. So first of all, I want to say that there is an agenda to divide this country. We need to know it. There's a spirit behind that agenda, and it's Antichrist. You've got to know it. Don't be deceived. It's here, okay? Secondly, the Betsy Ross flag has nothing to do with slavery. Betsy Ross herself was an abolitionist. She was against slavery. She grew up a Quaker. Quakers are anti-slavery. In fact, the Quakers were among the very first white group to denounce slavery. Kathy, could you bring up the flag? This is what we're talking about when we're saying this is the Betsy Ross flag. According to history, this Betsy Ross flag represented the birth of our new nation. That's what it represented. At the time, as Gary said, we had 13 colonies. And there were many different flags at that time. Some of the colonies had their own flags. There was just a lot of flags. But one flag was needed to unite the colonies into one to represent our new nation as we fought for our independence from Great Britain. And so that flag had 13 stripes and 13 stars. The number represented the number of colonies that we had at that time. The design for this flag was given to Betsy Ross by George Washington. He was the head of the Continental Army at the time. The stars were supposedly arranged in a circle there to indicate that there was no colony above the other. They're all equal. Betsy Ross, by trade, was an upholsterer and a seamstress. That's how she made her living. Gary and I visited her home there in Philadelphia. Not too long ago, we have some pictures. Kathy, could you go to the next slide, please? This is the front of her home. Next slide. That's the plaque in front of her home. She's credited with making the first Stars and Stripes flag. That's how she's earned her fame here in our history. Could you go to the next slide, Kathy? This is the inside of her home. That was her workshop. That was her work area. And then the next slide, this is the side of her house. But look at the flag. The flag's, that's the Betsy Ross flag there. So Betsy Ross was approached by a secret committee, including George Washington, Robert Morris, and George Ross Jr. They approached her to sew a flag for our nation. Since making the flag was considered an act of treason by Great Britain, it was really important that those three men knew of her allegiance to the revolutionary cause. It could have cost them their life by going to her. They knew her, though. Betsy attended the same church that George and Martha Washington attended, the church we just talked about earlier, Christ Church, there in Philadelphia. Back then, families had their own pews, you know? And so Betsy Ross's pew happened to be right next to Martha and George Washington's pew. So they got to know each other. And actually, Betsy had sewn some bed hangings for George and Martha, and she did some other seamstress work as well. So they knew of the quality of her work. They knew her. Betsy had a lot of respect for George Washington. So it is very plausible that Betsy Ross did sew this first flag as recorded in history. Thirdly, Mr. Kaepernick said that the Betsy Ross flag was offensive to him because of the slavery in our country at that time. He says he was offended by slavery. You know, I don't like slavery either. You know, this congregation is responsible for purchasing, for freeing a family, a slave family in Pakistan. We don't like slavery. We're against slavery. And so I'm against slavery too. But thank God that slavery is no longer an issue. It's not in our country. The Civil War took care of that. We defeated slavery. And so, again, that was at a cost of much bloodshed, but slavery has been conquered. We don't have slaves here in this country. So I thank God for the leadership of our great president at that time, Abraham Lincoln. I thank God for his leadership. You know, we have other problems in our country, for sure. Each one of us must be held accountable for our actions. Each and every one of us, from leadership on down, we are responsible for our actions, and we should be dealt with accordingly. Absolutely. The truth needs to be known, and we should be dealt accordingly. Sometimes knowing a little bit about a person helps us to know why they might, act a certain way or do some things. I find it odd that Mr. Kaepernick appeared at a press conference the day after that he refused to stand while the national anthem was being played at his football game. He was at this press conference. He was wearing a Malcolm X hat, and he was wearing a T-shirt with photos of a communist dictator named Fidel Castro. Kathy, could you bring that slide up, please? At that conference, Mr. Kaepernick was complaining about U.S. oppression, but he was showing the admiration of this communist dictator of Cuba. Did you get a blow-up of that, dear? Okay, could you go to the next slide, Kathy? You can see that a little bit better. Like minds think alike. It is estimated that under Fidel Castro's rule in Cuba, more than 70,000 people were murdered. Mr. Kaepernick he wore T-shirts featuring Che Guevara on the front. Che was Fidel Castro's main man in charge of slave labor camps in Cuba. He was also Castro's chief executioner. So Colin Kaepernick admires Marxists. You can tell that by his speeches, by the clothes that he wears, by the people that he admires, Fidel Castro, Che Guevara. This is the person who Nike selected to be their spokesperson for their company. In my opinion, they made a very wrong choice. Absolutely, absolutely. It's division. That's where we're going. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, since this story about the Betsy Ross flag broke out, the New York Times reported that this flag, Betsy Ross's flag, has been used at times in connection with white nationalism. One article said that the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, it's a white supremacist group, has used that flag as one of their symbols at some point. And apparently that flag has appeared in a photo at one of the meetings that they had at some point. I couldn't find anything on the internet that said that the Betsy Ross flag was their symbol. But if the KKK has misappropriated the use of Betsy Ross's flag, that symbol, to represent their view, they are absolute fools. Absolute fools. Like Colin Kaepernick, they should have done their homework. That seamstress that sewed that flag did not support their cause at all. And our nation doesn't support it either. White supremacy thinking is just as wrong as black supremacy thinking. It's anti-Christ. Colin Kaepernick was wearing a Malcolm X hat and t-shirt. He wears those things. Malcolm X was a leader for some time of the Nation of Islam religion. They have a black supremacist way of thinking. It doesn't matter if the thinking is black supremacy or white supremacy. It's all wrong. It's anti-God. It's anti-Christ. We need to speak the truth. Incidentally, that Betsy Ross flag, it was used. We have a slide on that one. Could you bring that up, Kathy? This Betsy Ross flag was used at Barack Obama's inauguration. In fact, he's got two of the Betsy Ross flags hanging there. Apparently, it was okay for that. So again, the purpose of the Betsy Ross flag was to represent the birth of our new nation and to unite the 13 colonies. At that time, there was a revolutionary war going on, and the purpose of that war was to win our independence from Great Britain. Great men fought in those wars and won our freedom. Those great men, there were also great men who fought in the Civil War, and they defeated slavery. Slavery was defeated during that war. Everyone enjoys the freedoms in our country. Everyone, including Colin Kaepernick, including him. He does not honor our flag, our national flag, or our national anthem. It doesn't matter if it's a Betsy Ross flag or if it's our 50-star flag. He doesn't honor it. Doesn't honor it. Yet, he enjoys all the freedoms that those great men died to give him. The freedoms in our country that we experience, they allowed Colin Kaepernick to prosper and to excel in sports and to be paid a very handsome salary. His net worth is estimated to be in the millions. Unfortunately for him, due to his narrowness of mind and his anti-American views, he's no longer sought after by the NFL. He's been ostracized, and understandably so. He's anti-American. This is where I believe Mr. Kaepernick is missing it. He isn't thankful for our country. He's not thankful for the freedoms that he enjoys. Those very freedoms allowed him to prosper. One of those freedoms includes freedom from slavery. It's been settled. Slavery's been defeated. He instead promotes division, even though slavery's been abolished for quite some time. He would do very well to follow the leading of Apostle Paul. Kathy, could you bring up our scripture here? Philippians 3:13. Paul said this is one thing that he did that was very important. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The prophet Isaiah said something similar. Kathy, could you go to our next slide? In Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. This is Isaiah. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Amen. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, both of those great men said, don't dwell on the past. Forget old things, or you might not recognize the good that's coming. Mr. Kaepernick would do well to take the advice of these two godly men. You know, what happens if you have a wound, you have an open wound in your body, and it's trying to heal every day? You know, it's trying to heal. God made our body so that they heal, you know? But what if you keep picking at it? It can't heal. It can't heal. Our nation needs to heal from its past mistakes, not rehearse them. You know, certainly we need to learn from them and move forward, just like Isaiah and Paul suggest. Not get stuck in the past. When God forgives us our sins, he says he remembers them. How much? No more. No more. So we shouldn't dwell on them either. If we do, that will hinder us from going forward. I, for one, I'm very proud of our men that sacrificed their lives for our freedom, for all of our freedoms, no matter what our skin color is. We've all reaped from their great sacrifice. So rather than stirring up division and strife, we need to applaud the victories that we've gained together and be thankful for them. Rather than causing division because of skin color, we need to continually remind ourselves that we're one race. We're the human race. We're descendants of Noah, all of us. That's pretty sobering when you think about it that way, isn't it? It's amazing. Creating division is an antichrist spirit that comes against our very foundation. Do we have problems in our country? Absolutely, we do. And to the extent that our people return to God and his word, I believe that we can continue to see those problems dealt with. Truth needs to prevail. But even with all of the problems that we have in this country, it is my firm belief that this still is the greatest country that we live in. I believe that is evidenced by the multitudes swarming over our border. You know, we're talking in this series about restoring the foundation. And much of what we've been seeing in our country and in society is a shifting away from God and the Bible, our godly heritage. If the foundation is destroyed or compromised, the structure falls. So to keep standing strong, we need to restore that compromised foundation. Our people in our country need to return to its Christian roots. Simple. Simple. God and his word. Our society does not honor God or his word. If we're to personally stand strong in the midst of the shifting that we see, we need to have a strong foundation. We need to strengthen ourselves more than ever with the word of God. Spend time in the word. Spend time with God. Intimate time. His word is an anchor during whatever it is you're going through. It's his word. You hang on to that. That's the anchor. We said last week that the foundation of everything has to be on the knowledge of God. That comes through his word. Kathy, 2 Peter 1:2, this is the scripture we looked at. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. if we want to maintain peace through the troubling times that we're walking through, you know, some of these end times, then we need the knowledge of God. And then we saw last week that verse 3 went on to say that God has already given us everything that we need for life, and we access those things through the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is found in the Word of God. That's where our foundation comes from. That's where we get our strong foundation to weather any storm. If our foundation is built on anything else than the Word, it's a shaky foundation. Shaky. It's not stable, and we'll crumble when the storms of life come at us. But if our foundation is on solid rock, we can stand. Kathy, could you bring up the next scriptures? Matthew 7, 24 to 27, I want to look at. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, this is Jesus speaking, it's red in your Bible if you got red letters, and does them. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. That's talking about obedience, right? Obedience to his word. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You know, this goes for our country and for us personally as well. Our foundation has to be on the rock. The rock is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Kathy, could you bring up our next scripture? 1 Corinthians 10:4 says this, and all of Israel drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know, if you remember, as the Israelites were, they were sojourning through the wilderness. They were heading towards the promised land. They were going through desert. But God provided for all of their needs. He provided life-saving water out of rocks in the desert. He provided everything they need. I believe the future of our nation is in question. Our foundation has been compromised since our humble beginnings. Many have turned away from God and his word, but if the foundation is destroyed, the structure collapses. We need the Black Robe Regiment in their pulpits declaring the truth of the word of God in love, boldly declaring what God has said. I personally may not be able to affect the whole nation, but I can speak to you. I can share the truth with you, and I think it's critically important that we have a firm foundation on this word. Firm. So that when the storms of life come against us, and they will, we're in turbulent times. They may get more turbulent if you read scripture. We need to be prepared. We need to be able to stand. And the only way we're going to stand is if we're anchored on this word. We don't want to flow with the rest of the world. We don't want to flow with them. We want to be anchored. We don't want to shift away from God and his word like we see happening in the rest of the world. You know, from time to time, we need to inspect our foundation. What are you believing? What do you believe? What do you believe now? You know, that shift can be so subtle. There's a spirit behind that shift. It's an antichrist spirit. We need to know that. And the goal is to get us off of the word. That's the goal. Satan very subtly came against the word of God in the garden when he spoke to Eve. He said, hath God really said that you can't eat from that tree? You surely won't die. he twisted God's word. He lied. He lied to Eve, and he had to get her to discredit and disbelieve God's word. He got her to disobey God's word. And then we saw the fall. If the foundation is destroyed, the structure collapses. Our society does not honor the word. It discounts it. It disbelieves it. It's actually an attack against, there's an attack against the word of God in our country. Political correctness, as we're seeing it in our country, is a spirit of Antichrist. It's demonic. It's demonic. And it's coming against God's word, just like that serpent did to Eve. But we just want to close in prayer and just thank God. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the many godly men who sacrificed their life for our freedoms, for every one of us, every color here in this great United States of America. Lord, I thank you. We ask you to bless this country. Bless them, Lord God. Bless each one, Lord God. We ask for unity. Draw this entire country into unity with you. With you, Lord God. We come against any deception from the enemy, any division from the enemy, Lord God. We say, I call forth revival in this land, Father God. Turn our hearts, every man, woman, and child, back to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. This country was part of your plan. But we need your help, Lord. We need your help. Times are a little wicked right now. Lord, we need to stand through those times, and we need your direction. We need to hear your voice. We need to be sensitive to your voice and your voice alone. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord. You do know the heart of Colin. I thank you, Father God, that you unite his heart with you completely, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We give you praise, Father, that we can achieve great things in this country because of the freedoms. Lord, I pray over our president and every leader in this country, Lord God. I pray your protection over them. The blood of Jesus covers them. I thank you for unity, Lord, in our leaders, Father. Unity, Lord. Bring them in total unity with you. We come against division in this country. We're all descendants of Noah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give us that mindset. We thank you for your love for us. You are a good, good Father. God bless these United States of America. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her with the light from the night from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, wide with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.